This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that we have another day together here on this show. And I just really appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. And today's an interesting show because, you know, before the show, I prepare for the show and I pray and I ask the Lord to just guide my thoughts. And I want this to be inspiring, encouraging, lifting up. I also want it to bring new insight. I want you to be inspired, and maybe it'll cause you to change. Just a little thought process, belief system, just something. Something that makes things just a little better for you or those that you're around. So in preparing for this show today, I was thinking about it, and last night I had a little knock on my door. And the knock on my door is a neighbor that I have, and he periodically will just pop in and say hi and sit down. And, you know, he just is an intriguing guy, and he's going through school. He's taking a huge test tonight that he's been studying a lot for, and it's for nursing. And he doesn't have, and he'll probably listen, and he doesn't have a real high self-esteem. He doesn't think very highly of himself. He's a little bit confused. I've talked about him on the air before, and he's okay with it. I asked permission, and he said, that's fine. And I was talking to him about a vision that I got. And the vision was, another little tidbit, is that I have another friend, and this is where the vision came from, is I have a friend that I talked to on the phone that said that he was injured. And I said, well, what happened? And he said, well, he said, it's really stupid. And I said, that's okay. Tell me it's okay. And so he told me what happened. He was riding his bike. He loves to ride his bike. And he was in the neighborhood, and he was looking at a house that was for sale. And he saw a driveway, two driveways, basically. And so he's on his bike, and he's in the street. He sees the driveway, and he goes towards the driveway, but didn't realize that the curb was still a curb. So what happened, if you can visualize, is that, you know, the front tire hits the curb, you go flying, he landed on his shoulder, and now he's in a lot of pain. He was embarrassed to tell me this, but, you know, these things happen. When I thought about that story and I thought about the visual of that, I was thinking about the times when I've been riding my bike and even when I was a young child and I was trying to stay on the middle line. Have you ever driven or ridden down the middle of the street and you've tried to stay on that line? And the realization that you come up with is that you can't look straight down at the line to stay on the line. You have to look ahead. Okay, so taking into consideration that you have to look further down the road in order to stay straight on the line, what's the message in that? For me, the message is in any goal, anything that you're going to do in life, is that you have to look further down the road. You have to have a plan. You have to have a purpose. But you can't forget to look at the obstacles and avoid or go around the obstacles that might come in your way, because they do, don't they? And this friend of mine has a habit of not looking down where he's walking. He trips, he'll fall over children's toys. He just doesn't watch right below him. He's always looking further down the road. So the message is really clear, isn't it? Is that although we need to be looking straight ahead and we need to look further down the road to our purpose and our goals in life, we also have to pay attention to the things that are right in front of us. For instance, if I was riding on the street or you were riding on the street and you were paying attention to the line, you know, I don't know, 3-4 car lengths down the road. If you were only paying attention to this down the road and a log or a can or a rock was right on your path, right in front of you, something could happen. And you have a choice in that moment when you see it. We choose to see what we want to see. But when you see it, you have a choice on riding over it or going around it. And you have the choice, but you only have that choice if you're paying attention and you see what's in your way. Sometimes things happen in our lives and we don't understand the why, and maybe we don't even see it coming. So I'm just saying we need to pay attention to what's going on. So today, the reason I bring all this up is I was telling my neighbor friend about this. And he was talking about, yeah, I kind of had a thought process too, is that, you know, I'm trying to eat better and I'm trying to lose weight. And sometimes you have to cut to gain. And I thought about that with him. And he goes, yeah, you know, he says, you know, sometimes I was kind of using the parallels that you talk about, Sue, when we have our conversations. And I was kind of putting the parallel about the friends, because the company I was keeping was not keeping me on the path I wanted to go on. Here I'm going to school and I'm trying to get good grades and I'm trying to do the right things in order to make the right things happen. And there were people that were in my life, obstacles, you could say, that were preventing me from getting to where I want to go. So he had a choice, and he was talking about that. Sometimes you have to cut in order to gain. And sometimes in diet, you have to cut like carbs, right? You love carbs. I mean, you know, bread and noodles and things. But sometimes if you really have a goal in mind, you have to cut some of these things off in order for the bigger picture. It's just like if you look at this about, you know, money. Okay, money is a huge factor in marriages having discord. It's one of the factors. And it's not the love of money. I mean, you know, it's not the money. It's how we, what we do with our money and what that money can bring us. For women, a lot of times money is security. For men, a lot of times it's fun. You know, it's like it can bring you fun, but it also brings you peace of mind because, you know, you have this responsibility to take care of, hopefully, the family, right? So all of these things are really important in the thought process and what we do with these items and how we choose, for instance, to spend our money or what we're going to cut, like, you know, not having Starbucks coffee every day. Maybe that money could be better spent putting in a piggy bank. Who knows? But these little choices we make every minute of every day can change the outcome. It can change the purpose or the goal for our lives. I was also thinking about this. If you were told that you were royalty when you were born, you know, and you grew up in a situation where people were telling you that you were royal, that you were royalty, and that you were set apart, and you were set apart because you had mighty things that you were going to do, you might not live your life the same way that you're living it right now. Think about that. Because, you know, in God's eyes, we are royal. We're royalty. He created us. And he designed us and created us for a specific purpose, to do what he had created us to do. And sometimes our own minds and our selfishness gets in our way, and we end up doing what we want, not what he wants. And sometimes we just don't really grasp the full understanding and belief system that we are important, that we are special, that we have a purpose that we were created for. Because maybe we would choose different things. If you're tuning in right now, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to the Sue Fries Show on the flagship station, KKLA 99.5. If you're tuning in for the first time or the fifth time or the tenth time, thanks. And you can go to Sue Fries, spelt like fries, one word, .com. When you do this, there are many things that you can gain by going on this site. Number one, connect with me. Would you? Can you just connect with me? I want to hear from you. I want to know what this show has done for you, if it's created some type of different thought process. Anything that you want to share with me, please do. It also has Helping Hands, and Helping Hands is some items that you can download. One of them is the IAMs, and the IAMs have been life-changing for many people that have gone on there. They've printed them out, and they read them every day. And what they are basically is scriptures that Christ says we are. It's who we are in Christ that really matters. Because we are a conqueror. We conquer. We are forgiven. There's many things that it says in there, and sometimes we don't really grasp and we don't believe it. But when we continue to hear the words and we speak them out of our own mouths, we will be transformed. And we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Because that's what it says in the Bible. When I picked up this book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I know you've heard about this book, right? You've heard about it. And maybe you've read it. And maybe you've read it more than one time, because he suggests, Dale Carnegie suggests, that you read it more than one time. And he has a whole entire front portion of this book that explains how to get the most out of this book. And what's interesting about that, the parallel is the same method that you would use to get the most out of this book, I would say, is the best method in order how to get the most out of the Bible, which is the rule book for life. And we say, you know, sometimes we just don't understand what to do. We don't know what to do. And some of us, we don't understand where to go to get the answers we need to handle whatever we're facing right now. I get that. I've been there. And sometimes I have to have somebody that knows more about something than I do, and I have to get humility, and I have to ask the question, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. Can you help me out? And you know, the people that are the most successful are not the people that are the smartest. A lot of the times, what I have found in my 50-odd years of life is it's the people that are resourceful, that they know where to go to get what they need. And isn't that interesting? You know, the Super Bowl happened recently, and there were a lot of parties and a lot of invitations and a lot of things going on. And I know there were a lot of people that are listening right now that maybe weren't invited anywhere. Was that you? If it was you, I would ask this question. How many times do you invite people over to your house? You know, what goes around comes around, they say, and, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself and treat others the way you'd want to be treated. So, you know, don't get down. Just make a difference. Change something that you're doing. Maybe you need to make an effort to invite people over your home. And here's another thing is, hang around people that don't just tolerate you. You want to be celebrated in your life. So I want you to look for people that celebrate you. I have people in my life that celebrate my life. My little sister is probably my biggest fan. My mother-in-law. My sister-in-law. You know, I have people in my life that just, they celebrate with me. And then there's other people in my life that have tolerated me. Can you relate? So we have a choice in that. And here's the really big question. If you want to be invited to Super Bowl and you want to be invited and you want people to, you know, to want to be around you, then read this book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, which we're going to go into. But also, you know, it's just, you know, what the Bible says is love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you treat people the way you'd want to be treated, even more importantly, if you treat people and you understand the other person, you'll treat them the way they want to be treated. Isn't that interesting? So now when I go into a room, I ask the Lord, you know, to reveal things to me. Why? Because I'm chosen. And so are you. When I was sitting with Chris last night, not to digress, but just to bring him back into the picture, is that, you know, his attitude or his belief system for him is, you know, he doesn't really believe that he is worthy enough to receive God's best. That's a lie from the devil. But he doesn't believe he's worthy enough, and he believes he has to change first. Do you feel like you need to change first? Because what I said to him is that look who God used in the Bible. Did he use perfect people to get what he needed done? No, he used regular, ordinary, even sinful people to do his work. So we don't need to change. Isn't that good news? That we do not have to change anything. That we come just as we are. And all we have to do is ask him. He says, ask and you shall receive. So if we just ask him to come in our lives and to be in our hearts, then it's up to him to make the changes, and he will do it. And it's not going to be painful at all for us, because he does it without us even realizing that it's done. You know, I've had friends that have been heavy, heavy, heavy cussers. And then they receive the Lord. And all of a sudden, one day they're going, wow, I just realized, you know, it's been like 2 months down the road or something. I haven't said a cuss word in like, you know, a month. And I'm like, wow, isn't that neat? And they say they did it without even thinking about it. It just kind of happened, because something happens and it's the Lord, because he gets inside you and he becomes part of you. Your desires change to be more like him. Dave Dino came in and talked to me before I came into the studio today. And he says, Sue, he says, what you do is you poke people into goodness. And I thought that was really clever. I thought, can I use that? He goes, yeah, you can use that. And I thought it was great. So what I told Chris was, is that he doesn't have to change. He doesn't have to do anything different. He doesn't have to get his job first. He doesn't have to clean up his act. All he has to do is ask the Lord into his heart. And the Lord will come because he says he will. I always reference Jesus calling, and Jesus calling for today, which is so amazing, but really not, because God is so amazing. But today, here's what the date today says. My peace is like a shaft of golden light shining on you continuously. Do you feel his light? I bet some of you do and some of you don't. That's my bet. During days of bright sunshine, it may blend in with your surroundings. On darker days, my peace stands out in sharp contrast to your circumstances. See times of darkness as opportunities for my light to shine in transcendent splendor. I am training you to practice peace that overpowers darkness. Collaborate with me in this training. Do not grow weary and lose heart. Scripture that goes along with this is, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. That's John 1:4-5. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Hebrews 12:3. And that's appropriate. How are you walking? Are you walking as royalty? Are you seeing what you want to see, or are you seeing with God's eyes? Are you looking for opportunities to be better, to strive for excellence in anything and everything that you put your hand to, or your heart to, or your mind to? Are you doing those things? I'm poking you right now. Can you feel it? You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5, and it's such a blessing to be here with you today. In another show, I had started this process or this program on how to win friends and influence people. It's through Dale Carnegie, but the most interesting part of this is that people would say, you know, is that really biblical, Sue? I mean, you know, what are you bringing that up for? And it's self-serving, you know, all you're doing is trying to gain something. Interesting concept. Anything we do in life is relational. Jesus wants to have a relationship with us, doesn't he? And the people that we touch, it's relational. It's not how much you know. I've said this before. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them. And it is so true that we need to let people know how much we care. And we need to celebrate those. And when you're in a room, do people enjoy your company because you help them feel better about themselves? Or are you sitting there and passing judgment and condemning? That's a really good question. Which are you? So in this book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and we're halfway through the show already, and I haven't even really started this thing. But I guess what was said needed to be said. So there you are. And that's what happens with the Holy Spirit. You got to let him to be in control, and he's in control. So ways to make people like you. This is something that it's talking about in the book, and it's page 112 is where I put the paperclip because I wanted to get right to the principles. And the principles are: become genuinely interested in other people. Are you? Principle number two. Now, this is a tough one. Are you ready? Smile. Principle two, smile. I've realized I'm not smiling as much these days, and it's because I have this eye problem, and it just really kind of weighs on me and makes me not so smiley. But you know what? It takes more to frown than it does to smile. Did you know that? So principle number two is smile, even if you don't feel like it. Sometimes when you do it, then you start feeling like that, you know, so it's good. Principle number three, remember that a person's name is to that person the sweetest and most important sound in any language. And that is so true. I've had people in my life that have been in my life for a long time, and, you know, my name is either Susie or Sue or Susan, you know. Another thing is how they spell their name, because if you spell it different, it's really special when someone remembers how you spell their name. So saying it, and saying it frequently in endearment, and also spelling it correctly. Like if you're good at like giving cards, make sure you spell the name right. Okay, just a little tidbit of information there. Principle four, be a good listener. Encourage others to talk about themselves. This is a really, really big one. And people love to talk about themselves, and they feel like you care if you're probing. I tell my children, one of them is shy and one of them is not. And I told both of them that sometimes for me, when I get into a networking situation, I will pretend I'm a newscast person, somebody that's writing an article. And I am getting information. I'm interviewing people in the room. And it's really fun for me because I go around and I ask probing questions, and people really enjoy talking about these probing questions. And a little side note, I was in Paris and I was talking to this gentleman that I just met, and he was waiting for his time to be tested for some dance thing or something. And I'm sitting in this room with two men and a woman, and I asked them this question. I said, how do you know when you really care for somebody, or what is it about the other person that makes you want to be with that person? And they really sat there and thought about it. It's like, you know, what kind of gets them attracted? And the one man, he goes, you know, I've never really thought about this, but now that you've asked me this question, it's really interesting, but I like to be around a woman who makes me feel like a man. I like to be around a woman who makes me feel more of a person than without that person in my life. And isn't that what we're talking about? The difference between tolerating or celebrating. And when you're going to win friends and influence people, I don't know about you, but I want to be around people that make me feel better, not make me feel worse, right? So it's kind of interesting. So be a good listener. Encourage others to talk about themselves. Principle 5, talk in terms of the other person's interests. This is so good in sales, too. I always tell people, try to find a connection. Try to find something in common. But be interested in their interests because, you know, that's where their passion is. That's what they're excited about. And it's amazing what you learn when you do this. Principle 6, make the other person feel important and do it sincerely. I can always tell when somebody's trying really hard or when somebody's genuinely interested. There is total difference between the two. So make sure that if you are going to do these things, that you do it with sincerity, that you really desire to get to know this person. It's not for your own gain. It's just because you want to get to know them. It's amazing what happens when you do that. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show, and we're going to teach you more about how to win friends and influence people and understand scriptural principles that go right along with what Dale Carnegie is talking about in this old, old book. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. Hi, Sue Fries, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy, Tyson, stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreespelledlikefries.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you, Ecola, for sponsoring this show. We could not do this without Ecola Termite and Pest Management Services. And if you have any needs for termite or pest control or rodent exclusion, anything, even attic insulation, we do that too. Anything that you need, please call and let us help you and take care of it so you can spend time doing other honeydew things, okay? And leave this honeydew to this expert company, Ecola, okay? And the Learning to Breathe, you know, you can purchase this book on the Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com site. And I will sign it if you wish. And thank you so much for that. Learning to Breathe is a very good book. It's got a lot of information regarding respiratory and asthma and, you know, just fighting the good fight. And, you know, as a mother, you know, we need to take care of our children and we need to protect them, don't we? And that's, this book is a lot about that. And, you know, it forced me to be a lot stronger and tougher than I was before. And, you know, you do what you have to do for your kids, don't you? So I know I do. Anyway, so we were talking about how to win friends and influence people. And I went through 6 ways to make people like you. Now, that sounds a little bit funny, doesn't it? But I don't know about you, but I can honestly say that I really want to be liked. I'm not ashamed of that. I want to be liked. Do you? I mean, if you'd really admit it, you do want to be liked. We all want to be liked. And we want to be appreciated, don't we? I think those are really important things for us, no matter what level you're at in life and no matter what responsibility you hold. As a leader, it's very you have to understand this because your employees need to feel appreciated, don't they? And they want to be liked, right? So it's really important, no matter what, you know, stage you're in, no matter, you know, what your circle of influence is that these principles are key. So now I'm going to tie it into Bible, because to me, the Bible is the word, isn't it? And so we pulled up scriptures here that go right along with what we were saying. Ways to make people like you. Romans 12:9-21. Are you ready? Love must be sincere. Didn't we talk about being sincere? So love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. You can't please everyone all the time, but you know you want to do your best to make things a win-win. I know I do. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I had talked about, you know, being tolerated or celebrated. And, you know, you can choose who you hang with. And I highly recommend that you, you know, just do that litmus test and find out who really, really shows you appreciation and makes you feel better. Those are the people that you want to invite into your inner circle. Not always can we choose that, but we can limit that, can't we? 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. I want you to take a little test right now, and I want you to ask yourself how you're doing and how those closest to you are doing in these. Love is patient. Are you patient? Love is kind. Are you kind? It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. You know, proud, I always look at people when I hear people say that, you know, so-and-so never takes responsibility for his part in the situation, and so-and-so never says he or she is sorry. That's being proud, isn't it? It's pride. And the Lord doesn't want us to be prideful. He wants us to show humility. He wants us to humble ourselves. So ask yourself what side you're on there. And if you have room for improvement, work on it. The beauty of this is not for judgment. This is not to make you feel bad. It's to poke you into goodness. It is to help you to achieve a higher level. It's to help you do what God has called you to do. So when you ask yourself these questions and you look at the person in the mirror first, ask yourself the questions and see how you rate. And then, you know, maybe ask those closest to you and find out from them, because you might have a different opinion than those that live closest to you. And they're the best test. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. Thank you so much, San Diegans, for tuning in, and up in Santa Maria, San Luis Obispo, and all over the world now with the internet. It's so awesome to have these podcasts going everywhere. So to continue on with 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, in case you want to know the address of what I'm reading. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, I know a lot of you know these scriptures, and it's like, yeah, I know that. Tell me something I don't know, right? But it's important that we listen to these things and we dissect them little by little so that we know where we stand and we know where we can improve. When I was preparing for this show, there were some other scriptures that came to mind. And one of them is Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? What is it you really care about? You know, I had two friends in the last 6 months that have died. And, you know, it just comes as such a shock, because these two people were full of life, and all of a sudden they get sick and then they're gone. Poof, just gone. And both of them were celebrated. They both were full of joy, and people loved to have them in the room. And they're gone now, and there's this void. There's this empty place. I want you to ask yourself what you treasure. And if it's things, think about people that you love, and if they weren't there anymore, how much that would mean to you. Sometimes we just take for granted the things that are closest to us. Sometimes we just don't take that time to say, I love you, or I'm sorry. Or we don't take the time to just appreciate and listen and ask and get to know. And isn't that what this book is talking about? It's getting to know. And it's not putting you before the other person, it's putting the other person before you. But what do you treasure? In this world, you will have trouble, John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And when I read that, I think about the little story that I told you about at the very beginning about the obstacles in the path of riding your bike down the middle of the street and trying to stay on that straight line and the obstacles. And what is he saying is, in him, you will have peace. That means the obstacles won't take a foothold. They won't stay there. We can drive around them, or we can ride right over them. That'll teach it. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have obstacles in your path. But take heart, because Jesus has overcome this world. And if we walk in that, it gives us a new strength and a new hope. that no matter what happens, you know, the Lord's right there and we can get through it together. There's another scripture that I want to read, and it's Ephesians 1:18, and it really, really, really resonates with me right now because of my eye and because of all the things that I've been dealing with for the last 3 months. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. He has called you. You, yes, you. Only you. He has called you. And he created you. And you are royalty and you were created in his image because he has a specific purpose. If you're not sure what that purpose is, think about what you're good at. You don't have to change right now. Okay, you don't have to get better. You don't have to stop doing something. All you need to do is ask the Lord to guide you, direct you, and ask him in your heart, and he will change you from the inside out. And if you're hurting right now because of things that have happened in your past, if there's things that are still not healed, if there's things that you still have secret, or there's something hindering you, maybe it's unforgiveness. If there's something keeping you from experiencing the full presentation, the full presence of the Lord in your heart and your mind, to where you can open your eyes to his heart and your heart, get the help you need. In the Bible, it says to seek godly counsel. Tell somebody. And I believe that you need to make it a safe place because some of these things are really, really detrimental that you're going through or that you went through. And not everybody is going to be as much of help as maybe hinder. You want to be around people that celebrate, not tolerate. So be careful. Heed and be careful, but get the help you need. You don't have to stay where you are right now. Isn't that refreshing? That you don't have to stay in the pain you're in. You don't have to stay in the position you're in. And the Lord doesn't want you to stay there. He wants us to pursue him, and he wants us to be what he created us to be. And if you're not there yet, that's okay, because you know this life is a journey. We don't arrive until we get to heaven. But we need to take those steps, those baby steps, to get further and further along. In the next show, I'm going to be talking about more in this book, and it's talking about you can't win an argument. Did you know you can't win an argument? And he'll talk about what he means by this. And just to give you a little bit of what he's talking about is, welcome the disagreement. Remember the slogan, when two partners always agree, one of them is not necessary. Interesting, isn't that? If there is some point you haven't thought about, be thankful if it is brought to your attention. Perhaps this disagreement is your opportunity to be corrected before you make a serious mistake. And the next paragraph, it says, distrust your first instinctive impression. Our first natural reaction in a disagreeable situation is to be defensive. Be careful. Keep calm and watch out for your first reaction. It may be you at your worst, not your best. Control your temper. And it goes on. And this is really helpful information because I don't know about you, but growing up, a lot of the times in our family of origin, no matter what birthplace you have, whether you're the firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn, tenthborn, oh my goodness. But no matter where you are in the placement, you have a position in that family unit. And not always are we taught how to handle discord, disagreement, because there is a healthy way to handle this and there's an unhealthy way to handle it. And a lot of times in our family of origin, we were raised with dysfunctional parents and they were raised with dysfunctional parents. And maybe they just don't know the best way to handle a situation. The good news is that we can choose to change this for our children and their children and their children's children, right? We can change this and we can be better. And we can learn from our parents' mistakes. There's been times where I remember as a child saying, oh, when I'm a parent, I'm never going to do that. Can you relate? I'm never going to do that. And then I end up, something comes out of my mouth and I'm like, oh, that was my mom. Or, oh my goodness, I can't believe I said I would never do that. And then there you do it. And you don't even mean to. And you totally are opposed to that, but it is the natural reaction that happens because it's what you know. But the difference is that when we research, when we learn how to win friends and influence people, and we learn what the Bible says, and we learn what God says about us, and we learn that we are chosen, and that we are favored, we're chosen, and we're ambassadors, and we are royalty. Think about it. You know, we are people that can change this world. And how do you do that? How do you do that? I say, you know, in my business, you know, we have these huge issues. And my problems are opportunities for improvement. That's what a way I look at them, is the problem is an opportunity. And I'll say, how are we going to deal with this big elephant? And I always say one bite at a time, because you can't eat an entire elephant, can you? But you can bite off one bite at a time. That reminds me of a trip I took to the Grand Canyon when I was young and vivacious and thought I could just do anything. And I walked all the way to the bottom of the Grand Canyon and up in the same day. I know, ridiculous, totally ridiculous. And it was like 100 degrees out. But I learned a really big lesson, and I want you to learn this lesson too, is that when you get to survival mode, when you get to that place where you have nowhere else to go, like I was in that walking back up on that Grand Canyon, and I had my bottle of water and I was down to half of a bottle left. And I don't know how far I had to go. All I could think about was, Sue, one more step. Just take one more step. And I cannot even tell you how many times I said that. Probably 100, maybe 500, maybe even 1,000 times. I don't remember how many steps I had to take. All I knew is I had to tell my brain to pick up my foot. I was so exhausted. Just one more step. And sometimes where we are is it's that hard or that easy that we have to just take one more step. And that one more step is going to get us where we need to go. That one more step, 100, 1,000 times more, one more step, got me to the top of the Grand Canyon. And there was a water fountain, and I wanted to take a shower so bad. But I just remember my mentality at that moment in time that was a breakthrough for me is that I couldn't get wings and fly up to the top of that thing as much as I wanted it. I had to just take one more step. And I want you to take one more step and one more step and one more step until we meet in heaven. And I want you to ask God to guide you, direct you to where you can be all He created you to be. And you don't have to change right now. You don't have to become better before you ask God into your heart. And if you already have the Lord in your heart, please ask Him on a daily basis. Walk with Him every day and let Him talk to you. Whether it's audible or just inside you, it doesn't really matter. You can hear Him. And when He talks to you, you need to listen. I'll tell you something that happens to me. I don't know, maybe you've experienced this, maybe not yet. Maybe it's coming. But sometimes I will be in a situation where I know the Lord is wanting me to do something. And He didn't audibly talk to me, but He just wants me to do something. He's put me in a position where He needs me to do something. And I don't want to. Why me? God, why me? But I'm in the right place at the right time, and it's, darn it, got to happen right now. And my heart starts pounding out of my chest to where I can hear it. I feel like everybody in the room can hear my heart. That's how hard it's pounding in my chest. And when that happens, I know it's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not letting go, and He's not going to let me out of this one. And I have to do whatever God's wanting me to do at that moment in time, because I know it's totally the Holy Spirit. Have you ever had this happen? If you haven't, it's not scary at all. I can't explain it. All I know is that once I get that done and my heart goes back to normal, I feel a lot better. And I know that it's something important. And I don't know why sometimes, and I don't need to know why, because God knows why. But we have to ask Him to use us. Are you in a position where you can be used for Him? Do you want that? Do you want to be used by Christ to do His work? You were chosen, you know, and you were created to do what He wants you to do. And you could be the obstacle preventing you from experiencing all He has for you. So think about that. and ask Him to guide you. Ask Him to direct you. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And I hope this show has been helpful for you. And we do want to be liked, don't we? And if we have some type of list that we can go down and say, okay, I'm doing that, I'm smiling, I'm listening, and I'm sincere, I'm learning their names, and I'm saying their names, and I know how to spell their names. If you do these things, I guarantee you, you will be invited to more, because they're going to feel celebrated by your presence. And isn't that what we want? I want to be celebrated. I don't want to be tolerated. How about you? You're listening to The Sue Freeze Show on the flagship station, KKLA 99.5. I hope this has been helpful. I really do. I hope this has been helpful. And the scripture again, I just want to read this again because I want you to hear this from the Holy Spirit. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. I pray that for you. I pray the eyes of your heart. You know, a lot of people think, they get in their heads and they know scripture and they think. And sometimes our brains can get in our ways. It gets in our way. Because it's like, you know, I just don't understand this. I mean, I need these answers. I need someone to explain all this to me. And that leap of faith comes from not from knowing everything, because we're not omnipotent. We don't know all things. Christ does. What we have is a heart that He has created in us, and there's a hole in there that we try to fill with a lot of other things. But the only thing that's really going to fill that hole is having Jesus in your life and Jesus in your heart. And ask Him to guide you and show you the way, because He created you and He wants you to do specific things. And another thing I will tell you, and I tell my employees this all the time, you know, when you're asked to do something, because I've been a yes person my whole entire life, I had trouble saying no. Can you relate, moms? Have trouble saying no. I was such a yes person that I just did everything. And what I've realized now that I'm the president of the company and I have a lot of responsibilities and I have other employees that are in leadership, I know that I'm telling them all the time now is if you're asked or if you think that you need to do something, ask yourself this question. Is there somebody else in this organization that can do that beside you? Because if there's somebody else that can do it, let them. Because you need to preserve yourself for what you were called to do. And if you're so busy doing everybody else's things, you're not going to have time to do what God set out for you to do. If you hear nothing else, that's my big lesson, is that you are set out to do a specific thing. And if you're so tied up doing everything for everyone, which I've done for a long time, you will not have anything left for the project that you were created to do. It's really good. That's really good information. And it's really good news. And I think you will walk different and you will live life different if you realize that you are special and that you're royalty. Okay, think about it. You were created and you have a specific purpose. Live that out, would you? For yourself, for God. Thank you so much for joining in on the Sue Free Show. Until next week, be a blessing to someone each and every day. God bless.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services.
Ah, it's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects.
Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.